Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like
Kevin!
Hello, hello, hello. How are you? Good morning, good evening, good night.
Buenos dias. I'm good. I'm not sun tan, como se dice, como que bañado por el sol. So I'm very happy. How are you?
Wow. I'm great. I am super tired and still in Ashland, Oregon, and just really cold over here because, you know, winter happens in places, I guess.
And I am running from winter. So we are the opposite.
Where are you right now?
So I just landed in Las Vegas. So more precisely, I just landed in In-N-Out.
Nice.
And now I am recording from Major Barracks Museum, UNLV. I am recording actually in the auditorium because that's the only room that I could find. Because apparently, even if you're an alumni, you can rent rooms in the library. I don't know how that works. But hey, we make it work, and I'm here for the holidays, so I'm going to be here for a while. Oye, pero espérate, in Oregon, have you been pickling stuff? Are you eating something different, exciting? Some winter foods?
Girl, I'm working 16-hour days. I'm like a fucking chipmunk. I'm just like eating nuts in my studio and ordering pizza. Like, I don't have time to pickle shit anymore. Yeah. I don't have that luxury. And, you know, pickling is for wintertime. It's supposed to be for you to, like, save time and just have food ready. So I should have planned ahead and pickled for this moment of tragic culinary experiences that I'm going through right now. But I think I've had this conversation on this podcast with you before. And I just want to say it again because all you white people listening to this right now and all you Latinx people that are white adjacent, meaning you're probably sleeping with a white person or you live with one, you need to talk to them about this, okay? And the conversation is going to go back to chilaquiles, all right?
Okay, let's do this.
Let me speak, okay? Taking a bag of store-bought tortilla chips and putting them in a pan and cracking some eggs on them and putting sauce on them, chilaquiles does not make. Okay? Let's make that clear. If you're going to make chilaquiles, I'm not expecting you to make tortillas from scratch, but buy tortillas, cut them up, fry them up in a pan with whatever flavors you're going to do. I'm not even going to be picky about what sauce, the consistency, but don't play me when I order chilaquiles at a fancy restaurant in Oregon in downtown Medford. I'm not going to say the name. They just like, they literally put, I paid $14 for some soggy chips from a bag with an egg on top of it. Like, I don't care what kind of secret sauce you put in there, what kind of truffle oil or essence of ghost pepper, whatever the fuck it was. You're using store-bought tortillas.
What is it with white people and ghost pepper?
I don't know, girl. I don't know. And it's like, I think it's just because it's like they don't have any friends that are brown or that are Latino or Mexican or whatever, that I've told them that's wrong. So they're just like, oh yeah, it seems like it's just chips and sauce and eggs. That's what I'm gonna make a fancy version of it and put a sprig of cilantro on the top. Like, come on.
No, that's happened to me in Mexican-owned Mexican restaurants. So I think it's a mistake all over the scope. But you can taste the difference. People think we don't taste the difference, but we can taste the difference.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand. I understand people. It's you know, time is running out. But, you know, you can't cut corners when it comes to the tortillas in chilaquiles.
Yeah. So you're in Oregon eating fake chilaquiles, unauthentic chilaquiles. What? How long are you there? Are you going to spend the holidays with your family? ¿Qué vas a hacer?
Yeah, I'm here just for another couple days. I literally am finishing this art piece today. I'm shipping it out tomorrow, and then I leave the next day. And I'm back in Las Vegas, Nevada with my family, and I'm going to be there for Christmas. And that is precisely what this episode is going to be about. I want to talk to you about your Christmas traditions, because I know that the Latinx community is full of really fun Christmas traditions. And we've done a similar episode back in the day. When we used to have mini-sodes, but I want to expand on it on this episode.
Let's do it. Dude, we do so many things, and I know I'm going to romanticize, but I really miss Christmas in Mexico, because that was, like, we tried to bring a lot of those, ¿cómo se llama?, tradiciones over here, but I don't know. It's not the same. One of the things that I miss the most is posadas.
And
the posadas basically start, I think, después del Día de la Virgen de Guadalupe, which is December 12th. And you carry with you, they call it a pesebre, and it's basically a recreation of the Holy Family of Mary and Jesus and a donkey. And the idea is for them to represent the idea that they're looking for posada. They're looking for a place to stay. So the baby Jesus is born. So you go from house to house. And, of course, everybody organizes. Let's say a neighborhood organizes themselves and say, okay, la posada is going to arrive. El pesebre is going to arrive to your house on the 12th, and your house on the house on the 13th. And then it's like a whole, like, procession slash thing. So you sing, hey, will you allow me to come in? And then the other people on the other side of the door is like, bitch, no, like, I don't have any money for you. Like, please let me come in. I basically have God in my belly. It's like, okay, come in. And then you finally are allowed in, and then that's when it gets good. And every house is going to host. So they're going to make ponche, which in the north we call calientitos. I'll talk about that later because I just made some for my students. And tamales, that's the typical stuff, and buñuelos, stuff and buñuelos. So I miss that because my aunt used to organize that in the neighborhood, and I get to carry the pesebre 1 year. Bitch, I felt so proud. I was carrying it with this other girl. I was being so careful. Ya me sabía todas las canciones. I was walking really slow para que no se me cayera toda la wax del candle. Like, I lived my Christian fantasy. It was great. And I have not yet I've gone to posadas where people just do a Mexican Christmas party, right? But like a proper, like, let's sing, come in, don't come in, okay, come in. Like, I haven't gone to none of those here. So that's the thing that I miss the most of my posadas in Mexico. But that's one of the things that we do, and now that I'm trying to do, now that I'm by myself. I try to do, not the posadas, but the food, the Mexican food of Christmas. But I know your family, like, throws down when it comes to food, especially your Guatemalan family, no?
I mean, both of my families. Actually, my Mexican side of the family does posadas. And I imagine my Guatemalan family would if they weren't so evangelical Christian, because I'm sure back in the day that was part of their traditions too.
Right.
But the posadas, my family in Las Vegas still does them kind of old school, because there's so many of us from our original pueblo. Shout out to Carreras Durango, Tepehuanes. Hopefully everybody's okay that I know. There was a big flood out there just a few days ago, or a few weeks ago, I should say. But anyway, they organize it here in Vegas, I'm in Oregon now, but in Las Vegas, like, every family member or family household, kind of, they take turns hosting the posada every night before Christmas. And so they just kind of coordinate. And so they do the whole ritual where they kind of carol, they sing outside of the house to let them in and all that, and then
caroling,
they go inside and do the, yeah, that's what white people call it. That's like white people posadas is caroling, but they like put on funny costumes and and the food, and there's no food. So the posada's like caroling with no food and no fun. Okay. I guess less praying, less, there's a lot of, you know.
Obviously I erased that part, pero se avientan el novenario, man. They invoke all the towers, la Torre de Babel, la Torre de Cristal, la Torre de
Marfil.
What
does that mean?
Well, they do el rosario, so basically you hold the rosary in each like beat of the rosary is supposed to be a different prayer, and the rosary can last like 30 minutes. And you better believe that as a kid, you're just sitting there because you know you couldn't eat until they finish fucking praying the rosario. And then they go to the, I don't even know, like I don't even remember none of that stuff. So I just remember the tamales and the buñuelos and the ponche.
Yeah, and that's really what we got to talk about is the food at the posadas. But before we do that, we're going to take a little break and come back with some more posada talk. OMG, Babelito. We have so many supporters on Patreon right now. It is so amazing to see all of our LWL family supporting this podcast. And you can help us too. If you haven't already, go check out our Patreon and become a part of the Latinos Who Lunch movement. I don't know what I'm saying right now. I'm trying to be off the cuff and not read the script. Can you say something? Great.
I don't have the script either, espérame.
Okay, cool. Very professional.
Ay, ay, ay.
Go ahead. Say something.
Espérate.
Just, you know the tier levels, right?
Okay, if you want to become intimate with us, you can...
Ew, why do you say that? Intimate? That is so... you know that doesn't translate well, right?
You can join our shout-out level for $5.
Intimate? That's not intimate. You sign up for Patreon and give you a shout-out? What is your idea of intimacy? Jesus Christ. If you want to get intimate and hear your name on a podcast, you can give us $5, no, $3, and be part of our shout-out level. And then, if you want to be our, shit, I forgot the levels. What is the other one called?
Sí, güey, es lo que estoy tratando de buscar, pero no tengo internet.
Well, if we both don't care about this, like, come on, one of us has to care about it. It's comadre and madrina. Here, I'll start it over. I'll just do it all. Give me 1 second. She just sent us the link, dude, right before this. It's in your emails. He emailed all of your emails.
I have the names.
Yeah, the levels are on there. Doesn't that trigger your memory?
Nope.
Okay. Do the little sound again, and I'll just do it. Oh my God, Babelito, what a joy to do this podcast. And to keep doing this podcast, we need our supporters. Nope. And to keep doing this podcast, we've been asking for your help. And a lot of you have been writing reviews and sharing the podcast with your friend. But if you want to be an even better friend to Latinos Who Lunch, you can join our Patreon and support us monthly. And so how... Well, there's different levels. If you support us with $3 a month, you get a shout out on an upcoming episode, on this episode even. You can become our comadre by pledging $10 a month. And you get a shout out on an upcoming episode and an exclusive Patreon episode every month. That's right. You get a bonus episode. And for $15 a month, you get to be our madrina. And madrinas not only get a shout out, an episode, they get the episodes early. And we'll send you stickers. We'll also post bonus content whenever available. Do you want to say anything else, Babelito? Do you want to join in this spiel?
No, you said it perfectly. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, great.
Thank you, everybody who's been supporting us. It's been actually overwhelming. To all of Madrinas, our comadres, and the shout-out levels, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, and it's my turn to do a bonus episode this month, so it's coming soon. Thank you to everybody that supported. The shout-outs are coming at the end. And again, you can go to latinoswholunch.com/donate to donate on Patreon. And if you just want to give us a one-time donation, you can go to our PayPal. It's all on there, folks. And we're back.
Okay, let's do this. What is your favorite?
Okay. You mentioned several foods here, and I'm going to get into it, okay? You said tamales.
Uh-huh.
And buñuelos.
And calientitos,
yes. Right? Okay, so get into it. What the hell? I know what a tamal is, but what is a calientito?
So, okay. This is known as ponche, and I've had fights with people because I don't know why we call everything in the north sounds different. So we call it calientitos, but it's basically fruit punch. And the way you do it, and I'm going to give you the recipe, so write this down. So okay. If you take a 3-gallon pan, you fill it out with water, you boil the water, you put un pot, es una olla, güey.
A pot es un sartén. Where are you going to get a 3-gallon sartén, güey?
Pues, ¿cómo se dice olla, güey?
Pot. I just told you.
Ay, pues un pot. A 5-gallon pot.
Take un pot. Okay, got it.
A 5-gallon pot.
I'm writing this down.
Uh-huh. Pero neta, escríbelo, güey. And
okay, I'm writing it down.
per gallon, you put one big tablet. I mean, I don't know how to call it, but se llama piloncillo, and it's rush. Oh, yeah. It's sugar on the raw, but it's like a it comes in a cone form, in like a shape of a cone, and it's probably like 4 inches tall. You know, so you put like around one piloncillo.
I'm familiar.
Per gallon.
Yeah.
I don't like it too sweet, so I will put maybe like 3.5-4 piloncillos. And then per
three and a half inches only?
No, cubos, o como se llama, o conos de piloncillo, 3.5-4 conos de piloncillo. Oh,
all right,
y
I heard that's all you need.
Per each... Pendeja. Per each piloncillo madre esa, you put like 1 to 2 sticks of cinnamon. This is all about your taste, right? Because those are how fucking Latino recipes goes. You just put whatever you like. Y luego, depending on how, if you want a kick, like if you want like a little bit of poquito agrio, un poquito sour, you're going to put tamarindo, tamarind. Pero lo pelan, güey, porque hay gente que le mete todo con la cáscara y te lo comes y te estás ahogando. And that's not a very beautiful Christmas. So you peel the tamarindo, and I'm going to say per each gallon, you put 2 to 3. And that's going to give this, like, flavor. Some people put a lot of Jamaica, but what you do is that I have like this little tea thing that you just fill it with leaves and then you boil it and then all the essence of the tea comes out. I fill it out with a little Jamaica, so it has an extra kick to it. So what you're gonna do is crear como un jarabe, güey. So it's gonna get a little bit thick, you know. So you're gonna have the piloncillo, the cinnamon, and a little bit of Jamaica, and then you let that boil for, I don't know, like 15, 20, 30 minutes. Depending on how thick you want it. And then that's when you add the fruits. You add guayaba, la parte es a la mitad. le agregas tejocotes, and I don't even know how to describe a tejocote because a tejocote tastes like a tejocote. Like, I don't know how it tastes like. Le pones guayabas, tejocotes. Yo le pongo poquita manzana, le pongo manzana verde. And then, guayabas, tejocotes, manzana. And then you bind cane, sugar cane. La pelas, and then you cut it into pieces. Y le pones así toda entera, güey. Pero by pieces, also, I mean like 3-4-inch pieces of caña. So when you serve it, you're going to have this like thick, like jarabe consistency. Not too thick, but like a little bit of a jarabe consistency. Y lo sirves con pedazos de fruta, que te llega un poquito de tamarindo, guaraguara la cuchara. Y con la caña, y la idea es que toda la noche estés metiendo la caña al jarabe y lo estés chupando para que amarre. And if you know how to do things right, le echas un piquete, meaning le echas un shot de tequila o de mezcal. And that shit warms your soul. I never made it before, and I finally made it for my students because I threw a Christmas party for my students this past Friday. Nos pusimos como arañas fumigadas, güey. It was fucking great. So that's my version of a ponche. I don't know if your family makes it or if they make it differently.
Yeah, that's the exact family recipe that we have. Great job, Babalito. Sorry, I fell asleep while you were talking. What happened?
Qué cool. No que lo estabas escribiendo, mamón.
I did, but I just like my whole body just like I couldn't stop myself. I just passed out. I passed away.
Bienvenido a la resurrección.
You know, there's always just somebody that does it in the family. I've never actually seen anybody. I haven't seen the whole process. It's usually my tia's mom, la señora Estela. That's the lady in our family that makes ponche because she makes it the best. Uh-huh. And so I just know there's a bunch of fruit floating in some like dark red stuff. That's it. It's because I'm not a ponche person. I never liked it. Oh, and
really? That's my favorite.
Yeah, I don't like sangria either. You know, most I'm also allergic to most fruit, and I think that's the reason why, because it makes my throat itch when I drink that stuff. So
right.
I'm more of a chocolate person, which is also a traditional drink, you know, hot drink.
Right.
But yeah, so, that's what I know that's what gives it the color, the Jamaica, right? The hibiscus.
And then, pues yo le pongo bien poquito, pero really I think it's el piloncillo that makes this like brown color. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so you like to, and then what do you like to eat? Do you eat buñuelos with ponche? I never heard of that. I always do it with hot chocolate.
That is a traditional, I don't know if it's Mexican or Latinx, but like it's a traditional thing to do. It's buñuelos. And the buñuelos, you make it with masa. But you know what's very interesting? I was watching Las Señoras Esas Que Cocinan en el YouTube, and I never made buñuelos because it's so fucking complicated. But in order, you make la masa, but they add water, and they actually, the peel of the tomatillo, the green tomatoes, they actually boiled it. And somehow if you add that water into the masa, it allows for the masa to stretch more. Because you basically make like tortillas de harina, and then you have to stretch them and stretch them and stretch them and stretch them. And to
what
make it almost
the masa's
like,
flour, though, right?
It's como de maíz. So, of corn, like a corn masa. So you add tomatillo.
Buñuelos are not corn masa?
Yeah, it's masa. It's masa de... It's not de harina. Es de maíz.
I strongly disagree.
I mean, I might be wrong, but either way, you add the water of the tomatillo peeled.
That's a big difference. You can't tell the difference between flour and corn masa. I've eaten your family's buñuelos. They're definitely flour.
Oh, remember when mi madrina made them for us in Juárez?
Yes.
That was, I don't know.
My memory has not been wiped.
But see, she makes the best ones because she actually includes the sugar and the cinnamon within the dough. We're just gonna call it dough.
Those had hella lard in them too. You're missing the main ingredient in your tia's buñuelos, lard.
Right. Yeah. And you have to beat that with your hand, man. So you have to like just do it with your hand, and then you get this like almost liquidy consistency. And again, le revuelves la el agua de los tomatillos, no de los tomatillos, de la casca del tomatillo, la manteca, the cinnamon, the sugar, and then you stretch them, stretch them, stretch them, stretch them, stretch them, stretch them, and then you fry them. And oh, they're so good. Some people make a little, casi como calientitos, como un jarabe, like a little, like a little honey that you make with guayaba, and with piloncillo, guayaba, and water, and then it gets really, really thick. Y los bañas, güey. Oh shit, that thing is so, 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 so good. But my favorite buñuelos son los de mi madrina.
Yeah, and basically for you people that have never had buñuelos before, they're like usually the size of like a big flour tortilla and like really crispy. So when I was young, this was me. Oh my gosh. This was me. I was the white people making chilaquiles out of tortilla bags or tortilla chips from the store. Just because I thought this is how people made them, I would take flour tortillas like from the bag
y las freías.
And fry them up. And I would fry them up and then put cinnamon and sugar on them. And they were like bootleg buñuelos. Okay, everybody, wait, everybody get a pen and paper, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to give you this is my recipe for buñuelos. Okay, go to the store. Get the most.
Prende tu carro.
Are you writing this down, Babelito?
Métete al Google y
ubícate. Go to the store, that means. Yeah. Go to the store, okay? You can drive there. You can take public transportation. You can Uber. Okay, once you get to the store, you go in. You go to the tortilla aisle. If you live in a predominant, actually, if you're in Ashland, Oregon, you go to the ethnic or Hispanic aisle in your grocery store. And you go, don't get the tortillas on the end caps. Where the artisanal food is, you don't want anything organic. You want to go straight to the GMO, preferably Mission tortillas. Those are good. Or Guerrero is also a family favorite. And so the more processed it looks, the better. And don't get the small ones. Get the large ones, the ones that look like a small pizza. Okay, so you're going to get those tortillas. Are you writing this down? Small pizza, you got it?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Then
se me olvidó la última parte.
You get a bunch of oil, and the only oil you can get is masola, porque con masola no está sola. And so if you're lonely, that's also a good tip. It's a good facial cleanser too. Okay, so then you take the masola and the tortillas to your house. You get a pan, not a pot, a pan, and you put it in there, and you make sure the oil is hot, okay? You make sure it's hot. You throw a little something in there, make sure it's sizzling. Take the tortilla out of the bag, throw it in there, make sure it's nice and golden brown. Then you can flip it. If you have tortilla hands, you can just dunk your hands right in that oil and flip it with your fingers. If you are a millennial that just uses Grubhub, use tongs, okay? And then once you get it perfectly crispy and it's all bubbled, you throw it on a plate with paper towels and you soak it up. You let it soak up.
You got to be very careful. This is a crucial step.
Yeah, and you right away, you dust it with a little cinnamon, a little sugar, and then it kind of soaks it all in perfectly. Once everything is nice and cool, you can even do a second dusting. If diabetes runs in your family, maybe skip that one. And then you're done. Did you write that down? That's how I used to make buñuelos when I was like 7 years old, and I thought it was I thought I had authentic. My own cooking show. Very authentic. East Las Vegas buñuelos.
No, I tried to make buñuelos once, but because you have to let the masa rise, dude. What?
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, do you want me to repeat any of that recipe for you?
I think I got it. It's stupid.
Okay, good.
So I haven't made them because like stretching them and letting them rest. That was like actually like that's how some of the fondest memories I have because se juntaban todas las tías and all the gay kids. You just like stretch them, uh-huh. stretched for hours and hours and
say
hours.
Say hi to your cousin for me. Yeah, well, you know which one. And so it's a family affair, just like La Tamalada, you know? It's like,
yeah.
I just, anytime we make buñuelos, it's like an assembly line, you know? Like, because one person right. is doing the masa, one person is stretching out the buñuelo made with flour, because that's what gives it, like, all the starch, you know, to pull it. And then does your family do the whole thing where they, like, put it over their knee so that it drapes and the gravity helps make it bigger?
Yeah, and then they cover the muebles con sábanas so you let them dry.
Yes, exactly.
You leave them overnight to dry, and the idea is that it's easier to fry it when it's like más duro, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Pero espérate.
Okay, what?
I do want... I mean, we talked about this before, but if people didn't go back to that episode, please... Tell people about your grandma's nacimiento because we haven't talked about that.
We're still on
and your grandma's.
We're still on food.
I know, but I don't want to run out of time. And you're not telling me about that fucking nacimiento because it's so good.
Well, my grandmother makes a nativity every scene, a nativity scene, and she does it with whatever she has around the house, and so she. She doesn't even do a Christmas tree anymore. She just does a giant nacimiento. So she takes boxes and stacks them on top of each other like a big kind of pyramid. And then she covers that in like crumpled up like brown paper, like craft paper. And then she makes like this just like little mountain. And then she puts a bunch of lights around it, moss that she's like collected over the years. And then puts the pesebre, puts the manger and the stable and the top with all the characters, except for baby Jesus, because baby Jesus doesn't come till Christmas Day. So it's the cast of characters. It's Joseph, Mary, the three wise men, the angel, el güey, which is the horse. Or no, the cow. Then there's the horse. Sometimes it's a donkey. It's usually a donkey, actually. A mula, if you want to have a queer nativity scene, and then
a queer Caribbean nativity scene.
You have some sheep, usually because there's like a pastorcito, you know, and so. Yeah, and so she puts all, you know, the regular cast of characters, although the three wise men didn't show up till January 6th, so that's also
yeah,
historically
that's never made sense
but,
since I was a kid.
Yeah, but I'm like, so why are the three wise men there and not Jesus? That's not, I mean, according to the historical document, the Holy Bible, that's not correct. So
that's inaccurate.
Yeah, but what is accurate is my grandma's nativity scene, because not only is it that, but she also puts a little lagoon at the bottom, a little pond, and she makes it with canicas. She makes it with marbles and just like all the seashells and beautiful rocks that she's collected her whole life. She puts it around to make like this little beach scene. She puts little ducks in there. She puts swan, there's an alligator, sometimes there's a dolphin, little figurine that she puts in there. Right at the base of the mountain.
Your grandma collapses time and space. She puts different climates, different geographies, different periods.
Listen,
I fucking love it.
Listen, there's a lot of microclimates in Mesopotamia, okay? So then on the left side is usually like the animals that are like herd animals. So animals like camels and more sheep and livestock, you know, a lot of cows and horses and pigs and goats, things like that. And then you start moving. Imagine pan right on this nativity scene. And as you're panning right, the animals get more and more, as my grandma says, salvajes, okay? So then you start seeing zebras, you start seeing little bears, and then you get into the straight up jungle. She takes all these branches from trees outside and pine trees and makes like a little forest, and that's where the animales salvajes live, just like in the Bible. So there's tigers and there's jaguars and there's like dinosaurs, like T-Rexes and a brontosaurus and, you know, all the scary animals that were in the Bible, right? And so after that, at the foot of this mountain, where baby Jesus is about to appear at midnight.
This holy mountain.
There is a little Coca-Cola village, you know, like those traditional little villages. But she's collected little villages from different sets and
European
made them
countries.
One. And yes, so... And then, so there's like little people ice skating and going to church and going to school. And then there's also a long line of cars that's wrapped around the whole thing. They're driving up to see the baby Jesus also. So a lot of little matchbox cars. And then, of course, there's to top the whole thing off, she puts, instead of a Christmas tree, a star, she took her old Christmas tree star that she bought in the 80s for her Christmas tree, and now just puts it on top of the pesebre.
That's
my grandma's nativity.
It's a vision, man. To see that live, it's a fucking vision. Thank you so much for indulging me.
Have you seen it in person?
I think I have. I think I saw it once. It's insane.
I didn't think you were allowed at my grandma's house around the holidays, but I guess you have.
Let's not get into that. You know what? Actually, I was just thinking about that yesterday.
What?
Because we just arrived home. I arrived, yeah, like at the whole fridge gate with your grandma. For those of you who don't know.
Oh, were you talking about the time you went to my grandmother's house and opened the fridge without permission?
That time. I'm glad you remember. So I was thinking about it yesterday because we arrived to my mom's, and it's my house, right? And we arrived to my mom's, and we have In-N-Out, and we have beer. And my husband goes directly and opens the fridge and puts the beer. And for a split second, I was like, wow, qué confianza. For a split second. And this is somebody that...
Yes.
Then it's my family now. So, like, for a split second, I went like, what? And then I was like, oh, shit. Now I get it. No.
Now you get it?
Discúlpeme, señora. Lo siento con todo mi corazón.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Now you get it.
A ver, espérate, so tenemos tamales, regresando a la comida. Hablamos de buñuelos, de tortillas freídas, y hablamos de calientitos. Now the main thing. I mean, for
yes,
me the main thing
tamales.
Is pozole. Tamales también. But I've never made tamales. It's too much fucking work.
Yo, it's so much work. And my Guatemalan family still makes tamales, and that is crazy because each of those tamales are like 3 pounds each. So it's like, it's a whole 2 days of preparing, and literally the whole family has to get together, all the tías and me. We all get together and make them. And I mean, tamales are just, to me, they are Christmas. You know what I mean? Like, really, we only make them once a year in my family.
That's my thing too. Like, I really only eat tamales in Christmas, but I gotta say this. Shout out to everybody in Chicago and Pilsen, because you see tamaleras all year round, from Enero when it's fucking cold as fuck all the way to December when it's cold as fuck. And the tamales, that's one thing. There's no good tacos in Chicago. I'm sorry, and a lot of listeners are gonna be like, you haven't been here and there, but there's no good tacos in Chicago. But tamales are so good. So now I eat them all the time. Now, like, traigo flojera, like, after school, like, I'll stop and get a tamale y le pongo un huevo frito y párale de contar. Like, I'm happy.
So did you just say tamale?
A la verga. I think I went over this. Ay, ay, ay. Un tamal, un huevo.
Excuse me, I'm going to go jump out of a window now.
No mames, la cagué, qué feo, güey. Tamal. Discúlpeme, discúlpeme. Con un huevo y se acabó.
I'm sorry. That was just...
That was fucked up.
I just need a minute. Fucked up. I see.
Duérmete un ratito y regresa.
I can't believe you said tamale. Who are you? Gustavo Arellano? Who are you? Jessica Alba? Like, oh my God. My feelings are so hurt. Did you just ruin Christmas for me? Oh my God. I think you did. Oh man. What do you like to put on your tamale?
Le pongo si hay una salsa de árbol, I always add salsa to my tamal. But you know, because because you only have tamales in Christmas, so people make dozens and dozens and dozens, right? So my mom used to freeze them, and we used to eat that shit like for months. My favorite thing to do is to grab a tamal que está congelado, partirlo in little pieces, and then put some oil in the pan. Oh, see, I got it right. Put some oil in the pan. And then...
great job.
Estrellarle unos dos huevos y revolverlos. So you basically have like migas, but instead of tortillas, tamales. That's my favorite thing.
Yo, that is fucking good. That is like hungover food if I've ever heard it, dude. It's like perfect.
It's si like, tienes frijoles,
tortillas and
asienteros.
Eggs aren't enough, put a whole damn tamal in there. That's so good. Right.
Y si tienes frijoles enteros, se los echas, and then the juguito de los frijoles se penetra en la masa del tamal. Uf.
Ooh.
That is... that is hangover. That is definitely
that
hangover.
That juice better penetrate that masa, girl. Oh, my God.
Ay, stupid.
You are spiggity malingity. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Ain't nothing better than when the frijol juice just penetrates the masa, man. Oh my God.
You should make the podcast fucking tired more often. You're so funny.
Oh my God. I'm not funny. It's just that you're not. Oh my God.
Por eso, güey, te necesito cansado.
I've been cansado. that's so funny.
Como dice la Yaremi, cansada puñetera.
Today's the last day of my. ¿Cómo?
Cansada puñetera, dice la Yaremi.
I know. That's me. Can you have her make a t-shirt for me that says that? That would be great.
Okay, I'll do it.
But tell her to make a skeleton shirt because I can only wear that. I did it to myself. So, listen, I'm tired, I know, but it's been really fun. I'm excited about the holidays, and I'm excited about... seeing my family, because I have been away from home for like 3 months now in Oregon. And in all seriousness, I just want to thank everybody here in Oregon. I know nobody, maybe one person listens to this. Shout out to Emily McPeck at the Schneider Museum. She has been a really good friend to me, and I know she listens to this podcast. But It's been really awesome here. I've never taught at college level before, and it was really great getting to do that, getting that experience here. Now I know that I can do it, and that it's something that I have in my pocket now, and that I can pursue if I want to. And I couldn't have done it without all these amazing people here in Ashland, Oregon. So, you know, I talk a lot of shit on this show, but I also want to express gratitude to everybody and to all of the amazing artists out here. Of course, the students that were in my classes, they're amazing. And there actually is a strong Latinx community here. Maybe not specifically here, maybe more in Medford, which is the bigger town just down the way. But I've got to meet a lot of really cool people while I was out here. And I'm probably going to end up coming back because I've made so many wonderful friendships. So that's something that I never thought I would be, like, have a community of people in Oregon. And I know I say this after every installation that I do, Wara Wara La Cuchara. But I also wish that I wasn't working so damn much so that I can actually enjoy being here. That's why I want to come back to just chill, because ever since I got here, I've been working on like 3 projects at once, including Latinos Who Lunch and my other thing and this and that and that and that. Blah, blah, blah. So I hope to, you know, we talked about it last year, and I say the same shit every year, is like, I really hope to be more in the moment this next year coming up. So shifting gears a little bit, that's kind of my New Year's resolution, is to give myself more time to be in the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, this semester, I didn't leave the house. I work on a big proposal for a big fellowship. I work on like 3-4 applications for work. I wrote like 4 or 5 essays, and I always felt like I wasn't doing enough and I wasn't able to enjoy it. And it wasn't until I actually got my students to come to the house, and I made them a big pot of pozole and calientitos and everything. And then I got a student who brought me like a beautiful note, and I realized that, fuck, like, I don't get to enjoy what I do, because I'm just like, as you say, I'm not in the moment. And it's important. I think it's important also for mental health, because if I would stop at least at the end of the week and realize what I'm accomplishing with my classes, you know, I think it would have made it easier for me to go through it, because there were weeks, especially during deadlines, where it just seems like you're doing everything wrong, you know. And you're just going, mm-hmm. and working. And it's not until this moment, like right now, like this is like my last thing is just to turn in great. So I have to work for 1 more hour and I'm done for like 3 weeks. And now that I'm thinking about, in retrospect, the whole semester, it's like, holy shit, like I did stuff, you know? So I think it's important to take a second and enjoy it, because we never know where we're going to be tomorrow, and who knows, like, we're going to miss these moments where we don't have a lot of work, and, you know, like, and we're mm-hmm. not riding the wave. So yeah, that is definitely that I think a lot of people should think about, you know.
So that was my resolution. How about you make another one? It's not the same. Do you have any other ones?
My goal is to get... Okay, so I don't know. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready to start a family, man. And in order to do that, I need to get a tenure track, and I need to get that job. And I need.
Oh,
to
they
get
said
that.
I need to get a baby. I was like, I know where you could get one. Cheap.
Well, yeah, that. I mean, that's not gonna happen next year. That's not the resolution. But in order to accomplish that goal, that could be in the next 3, 4, 5 years or whatever, I need to get that job. So I need to work harder on my book and getting that tenure track. So those are my 2 goals, and that's my resolution: to work on that book and to work on that tenure track, and hopefully in 5 years, you know, I can accomplish this, because I did have no idea that this was in me. But, you know, like, te vuelves viejito y la chingada, and now I can stop thinking about it. So I'm going to work hard for that. So that's my resolution.
Yeah, you start getting old and your bones start hurting.
Ay, güey, si supieras, todo me duele. Mis wrists me duele. las knees me duele, like, todo, güey.
My bones.
Se pone frío.
So much.
Se pone frío y lo siente.
I'm going to be one of those gays that gets their hips replaced, girl. I already know. I can't move my body. Oh, my gosh. My art is going to kill me. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, you're in Vegas. Are you going to stay in Vegas for Nochebuena? Because you know what? We didn't talk about this, and we should have. We don't celebrate Christmas, really, on the 25th, traditionally. We celebrate it on the 24th, the night before, and we party till midnight. And that's when the kids open the presents. None of this, go to sleep, leave cookies for this white man that breaks into your house. No. Wait, you know what? We have the party on the 24th. But wait, I was going to ask you, did you ever for a minute believe in Santa Claus?
Oh, yeah. Hasta bien viejo, güey. Yo era como mi tía.
Qué stupid. I can't believe it.
Of course. I was like 12. I think I was smoking.
You believed
already
in
believing
Santa?
In Santa Claus. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So you were 28, you said?
No, pendeja. I was like 12.
Oh my God.
Dude, this is how much I bought into the myth. I think I must have been like
Everything. I can't believe it.
I think I must have been like 8. And I was with my friends and it was the summer. It wasn't even close to the winter. And my friend is like, Santa Claus no existe. And I was like, yes, he does. It's like, no es cierto, no existe. Mi papá me dijo que él compra los regalos. And I'm like, your dad is stupid. Let's do a fucking survey. So I grabbed my pad and pen, and we went to the neighborhood, and we knocked in the doors. Buenas tardes, señoras. Estamos haciendo una encuesta para ver si Santa Claus existe o no. Sí, mijo, claro que existe. So we will go. We went to probably 10 houses in our neighborhood, knocking on the door, asking the parents to tell us that if Santa Claus existe. And fucking one grunge motherfucker, he's like, no, no existe. Los regalos los compran tus papás. No crean esas cosas. But I think out of 10 houses that we surveyed, one house was a no, and the rest of them say yes. So I still believe in Santa Claus for a couple more years after that.
Oh my gosh, you did a survey? Wow. That's deep.
So yes, I definitely believe in Santa Claus. ¿A poco tú no ni un año creíste?
Yeah, maybe till I was like, I don't know, maybe I think when I was like 5, I was like, this is bullshit. That's just some dude dressed up.
Not me.
I didn't say anything until I was like 8 or something, but I was just like, okay, I'm just going to take these presents, but I know you're my tío Rito in a costume. Like, it's not like it's not like I don't know, but I'm just like, I just went along with it and just like pretended everything was fine, kind of like how I'm doing right now.
Like like we never had any of our family members dressed up, but the best we have, the like sitting down with my family and sharing.
That's probably good. That's probably why you believed in it.
sharing stories about Santa Claus with our families. It's so fun because everybody's drunk. Everybody at like 2 a.m. when the kids go to bed and Santa Claus comes in, everybody's fucking drunk. So I remember my dad, he will leave that, he 1 year left the toys outside and forgot. And my little sister woke up. He forgot some of the toys outside, like outside of the house. That's how drunk he was. He never put him inside the house. So my little sister woke up, he goes, and because my sister was like, era bien mala razonienta, right? She always said bad words. And she was like maybe four. Mira, Santa Claus, pendejo, se le olvidaron los juguetes afuera. And like at one time, like my aunt too, they were super drunk and they put the toys and they had three kids and they forgot one of them. They're like, go back to bed, go back to bed.
They forgot about one of them?
They forgot, so they sent them back to bed and then they woke them up again like, sorpresa.
Oh my God.
I know. So yes, we definitely, that's like so my whole funny. Extended oh, you know family what? Really believe, yeah.
I just started thinking about it. I don't think I believe because my Guatemalan side of the family just told us that like Santa Claus isn't real. Because Christmas now, oh, you know what? It's all coming back to me. Christmas is about is a sham. It's not about all these traditions. It's about God. We don't actually know if Jesus was born this day, but we're still going to celebrate him. So we're not going to give each other presents, kind of thing.
Wow.
So then I pretend. So then when I would go to my dad's side, who's Catholic and loves all these traditions, I would just pretend that I'm like, oh, yeah, it's, you know. I wouldn't like be a party pooper because I was trying to get presents. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, this is real. This is real. And I just like would believe it there. I don't know. It's all crazy. I mean, just every time I see a Christmas tree in somebody's house, I always am thinking they chopped down a tree to put a bunch of lights on it inside a house for what? it's just like... What? Like, a nacimiento is so different. It's like you're just taking all this recycled stuff and putting it out every year, but cutting a fresh tree down, and I'm not even like an environmentalist. It's just ridiculous. It's so stupid.
It is. But se ve tan bonito.
Ay, pero se ve tan bonito. And if you get a fresh one, ay, it smells so good.
Huele tan bonito.
Ay, huele tan bonito. Yeah, so are you going to spend Christmas in Vegas, or are you going to California with your husband's side of the family?
I'm actually going to this weekend I'm going to Rialto with my family, and then we come back for Christmas with my family, and then New Year's Eve again in Rialto with my family. So, yeah, I'm going to go back and forth.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. You get to see everybody.
You too?
Well, so my mom's side of the family, which is my Guatemalan side, because we don't celebrate Christmas, we actually celebrate my cousin Elsie, who was born on Christmas Eve. So we call it Elsmas. And so we all go to Elsie's house and we give her presents. She's like our baby Jesus in the family. So technically we get together for Noche Buena, and for Elsie. And so, I'm probably going to do my Guatemalan side Christmas Eve. And then my dad's side, they're also going to have a big party on Christmas Eve, but like they usually do the Mexican side. But, they also, my tías are like very like Pinterest tías now. And so for like the past, and you know exactly what that means, palette, wood palette, backdrop, banner, outdoor lighting, indoor lighting, pastel color, backdrops, hashtag clothespin photo arrangements. Ugh, yeah, stop it, people. Okay, just buy a picture frame. Okay, so they like to do like pajama day. So like everybody goes to somebody's house early, like in a whole like onesie or in a pajama. And we just like lounge around and eat the leftovers and watch movies and play board games on Christmas Day. So it's like we're mixing like Latinx Christmas with white people Christmas. Yeah.
Whitenix.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. That sounds wonderful. Oh, I wanted to plug some things, I mean, related to Christmas, because I forgot to tell you. So the reason why we're going to Rialto we're going back to San Bernardino this weekend is because my family over there is organizing a Mercado Navideño. So they are bringing some, like, they're going to sell some food. Mi suegra is going to sell her jewelry. This is going to take place on Friday, this Friday, so tomorrow. And it's at the Garcia Center for the Arts. So if you are in the Inland Empire, if you want to eat my delicious cupcakes, come and show up, show your support. Again, it's el Mercado Navideño, the Garcia Center for the Arts, and this is on Friday, December 20th. I almost forgot. Si me hubiera olvidado, Rosa Mamá me hubiera dado una cachetada. No es cierto, she's not like that, but she would have been mad. So at Garcia Center for the Arts, don't forget, I'm gonna be over there.
Yeah. And speaking of nacimiento, I just actually was able to fly my grandma out like 2 weeks ago. And we went to the Longmont Firehouse Arts Center, and that's Longmont, Colorado. And we actually made my grandma's famous nacimiento on a very large scale in the gallery. So the exhibition Nacimiento is up now through, I think, January 5th in Longmont, Colorado. So if you want to go see a piñata cardboard version of the nacimiento that I described earlier in the episode, you can do that. It's not too far away from Denver. And yeah, Longmont is this like really nice little town in Colorado. And I like to say Colorado like that. and shout out to all the listeners that came out to help me do the nacimiento. Shout out to Dora and her family, and oh my gosh, so many people. I can't even remember everybody's names, but a bunch of people just showed up to help with the nacimiento while I was out there. Karina, of course, our dear friend. So many folks.
Yes.
Yeah, so check that out. Is that your recommendation, or do you have anything else, Babs?
I actually had a music recommendation.
Okay.
But I'm going to leave the recommendation for our music episode. So I think I'm going to stick with that, with the Mercado Navideño as my recommendation for the week. Yes, because I'm going to get into that album. So,
all right. And well, with that being said, I'm just going to leave it at that too and say I'm really looking forward. Basically, our next episode is going to be all music recommendations. For any of new listeners that don't know, the first episode of every year is our tribute to Radio Menea, Song Mess, and other Latinx music podcasts. And we do our like top three songs and top album of the year. So we're going to be kind of reviewing the music of 2019. Correct. In the next episode.
Right, that's right. And I'm so excited because I have so much to say.
Oh, good. I haven't listened to anything. So it's going to be really fun Googling stuff in the next week. I'm so excited. No, but I have a few friends that have been sending me stuff. So I'm excited to listen to everything. And because, you know, I don't know why I listen to that damn Lizzo album so much. I'm like, is that really all I listened to this past year? Was like, I literally listen to the same four albums like on repeat, so it doesn't matter. But we're going to have a fun episode coming up. Well, before we sign off, we just want to give a big, big shout out to all our Patreon subscribers. And we want to give you all shout outs. So we're going to start with our wonderful, wonderful madrinas. We love you all. Thank you so much for helping us. Thank you to Hillary, Vanessa, Anna. Thank you so much, Nancy. Thank you, Miguel. And Stephanie, you're the best. Thank you so much to all of our madrinas. Do you want to give a shout out to all of our comadres, Pablito?
Yes, let's do this. So thank you so much again for supporting us. And thank you for our comadres, Anne, Anthony, Chris, and Anita. Again, thank you so much for supporting us. Thanks to people like you, we are able to do this podcast. Los queremos.
Yeah, and also shout out to our old comadres, Ross. It's Rosaura. It says Ross on our spreadsheet. Indira and Yesenia. And our shout out level, thank you to Raciel. Also, love your podcast. Christine, Lucia, Ivan, Angelica. Thank you, Angelica, Liz, Roberto. And, you know, like Dora, Laura, DS, and Bobcat F. Thank you. Thank you so much. And we also have some PayPal donations from Marlena, Chris B, and Marisol C. Thank you so, 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 so much.
Muchísimas, muchísimas gracias.
And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. You can email us, too, at asklwlpod@gmail.com, and we might read your letters on a future episode. We also ask that if you want to support us, you can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are, and
invisibility leads to representation, and representation matters, people.
It sounded like you said invisibility.
No.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela, Emmanuel Ortega, and Maite Sosa. The music you are listening to is by the band Brownout. I'm Favi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.